Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Disconnected Gamers Podcast, where we reconnect with life and gaming. I'm one of your hosts, Andrew, also known as J-Bond. With me, as always,
Mike.
Cool things going on this week. Just kidding. This is episode 10. It is January 24th of 2015, for those of you who don't listen correctly. Anyways, today specifically for me has been like a pain in the butt, but we're gonna get through it. We're gonna talk about games. This will be a game review podcast. I don't really know how else to describe it because we've both been playing some games, and instead of like a traditional review, we're gonna talk about them and discuss what we like, what we don't like, and that'll pretty much, I think, be it, because we'll probably end up using up the majority of the time we normally kind of allocate doing that. So, Mike, first game, Citizens of Earth. Atlas.
Yes.
Also known for their Persona series. Well, not, I mean, they don't, they publish it or whatever, but Citizens of Earth.
Japanese company does it in America.
Right, Atlas USA. Like the American Japanese publisher, basically.
Yeah, they translate it.
I mean, Atlas is great. Like, I give mad props to Atlas as a company because they've been super, super good with their like their PR team is awesome.
Right.
So, but let's talk about the game. You can go first. Thoughts?
Thoughts? I love it. I love the old school feel to it.
You mean how it's like Super Nintendo style?
Yeah, like SNES style.
Yeah.
Like old school RPG and like the art.
Yeah, I mean there's a lot of like the characters are pretty good.
Yeah, characters look good for a game on a current console unless you play on handheld for those.
Well, but you know what? When I play it on remote play, I assume it would be because I mean, obviously, it's on PS4, it's on like everything. It's on PS4, it's on Xbox, it's on Wii and 3DS, it's on PS Vita.
It might like almost everything.
Yeah, I mean, it's like literally on. It's on PC.
Isn't it on the Wii or not Wii, but Wii U?
It's definitely Wii U and 3DS. Yeah. Which, again, in and of itself, props to Atlas, because that's a buttload of consoles to be putting a game on.
Yep.
But it's, yeah, I mean, it plays really well. It does play really well, except for that
there's
time
a few hiccups. But...
Yeah, it froze on me and didn't, for whatever reason, autosave, and I ate 2 hours of gameplay.
Yes, yeah, I think, now I remember, I did have a freezing issue with one boss battle the first time I played it, but I didn't do much, so... whatever,
it wasn't a big deal. Yeah, I was just
start
annoyed.
All over though. That was my thing.
Right. Yeah. I just like was pissed because I was in a battle and it was like the enemy's turn to attack and they attacked, but the enemy it put up the text at the top of the thing like whatever the enemy was attacks so and so, and then the animation never happened, but like the wavy lines in the background of the screen was still going, and all you know how the characters kind of like. Or like the VP, which probably get into that. You play as the vice president of the Earth. You are the VP of the Earth. That's your main character, and you know like Pokemon or Ni No Kuni or any other type of like RPG. You have characters that you meet along the way, and in this case, they're the citizens of the Earth, and you recruit them to fight for you. So, you know, all the little animations of the characters. We're still going, and the music was still playing, and the background animation was going, but nothing ever happened.
There was no
menu to go into. There's no option to like escape a battle, until later when you get there's a citizen that allows you to escape, escape battles. But
Or you can use the escape option.
Right. Yes. Well, so not every character has an escape option though.
It's at the bottom left corner.
Is it really?
Yeah, and then there's a number. It'll have of the chance you have of escaping.
Oh, damn it. Maybe I missed it then. Because every time I would look to see if I could leave, it never would... it just, like, wouldn't work. It would just be like, you can't... Like, there would be no... I would never see the option. But I used to see it when I had one of the characters, so I assumed it was only depending, because each, and that's the thing, like, so we're gonna, this is a ragdoll of sorts review. Each character, each citizen has a particular skill and talent.
Yep.
And mm-hmm. each, you know, like, the homeless guy's talent is he'll go through the dumpsters. Because yep. if you go up to a dumpster as the VP, he'll just say, I'm not opening that. I'm not going through the trash. I'm not. But if you put the, if you have the homeless guy in your group, because you only have three characters, but you can rotate them out as you recruit each citizen, he'll open the dumpsters. You know, if you have the landscaper, they'll cut down trees. Similar to, like, if you have a Pokemon that has the skill cut.
Cut.
You know. And in that sense, I think the game's really fun. I think the game, there's a ton to do.
It's solid, yeah. Almost too much to do, I'd say.
Yeah.
Because there's so many little recruitment you can do for everybody. And then right. there's the school. And
right. And each citizen, you know, instead of, like, in Pokemon, where you have to fight them, weaken them, and then put them in, you know, a Pokeball, you have to do tasks for the recruits.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, the policewoman, you can't recruit her until you catch these three wanted people. Once you catch the three wanted, or because I have two of the three, and she still won't recruit for me.
You have to get you get her after you get the evidence for the conspiracy guy. That's how I got her.
Oh.
Yeah, so maybe, I mean, maybe there's more than one way to get her then.
Hmm.
So.
I guess, maybe. It's very possible that maybe I missed it.
But I totally, yeah, she's totally part of my group.
Because I don't have her. I only have, like, 10 people.
I have to go look at it.
Yeah, and I would, you know, and that's the thing. Like, I haven't finished the game, because the game is super long. But I'm somewhere in the neighborhood of 10 to, like, 12 hours. Only because I think I lost, like, 2.5, maybe, hours. So if you factor in what I may have lost, because it could have been longer. Because I've been playing all night, and then it was just, like... but I don't know if... You know, I definitely saved a few times while playing, so it's very possible that I only lost, like, 2 to 3 hours. So I'm somewhere in the 10 to 12, maybe 10 to 13-hour range.
Right.
Aside from, you know, obviously, like, there was a portion of it that I had to rebeat, but...
Mm-hmm.
But it is fun. I mean, it's fun. The things that annoy me game. Are the animated backgrounds in the fights are so... like, I don't know if it's... Like, if it's just, like, I'm super sensitive to just, like... Not, like, you know, not, like, epileptic seizures, but, like, just the wavy lines and the super bright colors. It's so, it's, like, it's not hypnotizing. It's just, like, it's just, like, upsetting to my eyes. Like, it bothers me. Yeah. I kind of wish there was more variety in the animation backgrounds, you know? It's, like, there's no environment, really, for battles. It's just kind of this, like, wavy line animation. And the colors change based on, I assume, where you are and who you're fighting.
Like, it changes the background.
Yeah, but, like, nothing... It's not as if you are in a building and the background is the building, and then if you're outside, the background is outside. It doesn't... That's just a thing that, like, maybe they just didn't want to do it, but it was kind of a bummer. I was kind of hoping that there might be, you know... Even if it was just a static thing. Like, just static mm-hmm. images, it would be better. But that bothers me. The non-autosave thing bothers me.
Which is weird, because it always autosaves for me.
Yeah. I think it autosaves when I completed quests, but I don't think
it... So, like, literally always autosaves for me. Whatever I do, it'll just completely autosave. Mm. You might have to check your settings.
Right. I think you mentioned that to me before when it happened. We were talking about it, and I think I just missed it. Either way, other than that, I mean, there really isn't anything. I mean, it's your stereotypical SNES style JRPG. Yeah, you recruit people. They have different talents. They have different pros and cons in battles. And all the while, you're trying to save. I mean, the storyline is that you're trying to save the Earth.
Save the world. Yeah,
you're Earth just thing. Trying to save the world. You know, the mm-hmm. president goes missing, and you know, you're the world's last hope.
Yeah.
So, but it's a fun game. I like it. It's good.
Oh, yeah, I love it.
There are a few things that I would like to change. I think for a game that's that also exists on the Vita and the PS4, it plays wonderfully on remote play.
Controls are perfect.
Yeah, like a good portion of what I played was on remote play. So, because my TV was horrible, and I mean, at least I have a new TV, which is nice. But yeah, I mean, it was great. You know, it's not like the controls. There's nothing really crazy about the controls. And same deal. So, you know, when you're in battles, you've got, you know, each character has different types of attacks, and you have to have X amount of energy to use certain attacks, and the energy replenishes as you like. I think it's based. You get a blip of energy for successfully landing like a low power hit. But sometimes you start with full energy, and sometimes you start with none.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's weird how it works.
There's enough variety in the system that makes it kind of interesting. You know, it's not like you can. It's not like in Pokemon where you can just like level up a Charizard to like 100 and then just completely smoke every enemy you encounter because it doesn't matter because yours is OP. Like there is a bit of balancing that you kind of have to be aware of.
The item system that they have set up. So at one point you can get like a cola stuff. Oh, up your attack and your defense.
Right.
Over time, it ends up dropping your, it'll up your attack, but then over time it starts to drop your defense.
Right. Which is kind of cool, right? Cause it's like the whole idea that like you drank a soda for a boost, but much like in real life, when you drink a soda and you get that caffeine boost, you have the down part of that thing. Because there's also, there's obviously a lot of different food items you can pick to make your attack or defense or, you know. The one thing I think is weird is there's not a whole lot of options to revive characters. There's only, like, two items that I've gotten because it's one of them is one of the coffee things. And then the barista has a...
She has a skill
to revive. It has I think it's like a 50% chance to revive people, but every time I've used it, it's revived people. You get no health. So
usually how that works.
Yeah, so like if you revive them and you can't get enough, like you can't get back in the rotation to use an item on that character, they're going to get knocked out again. But at least you're not out like a revive item. It's just, you know, you're sacrificing a hit on an enemy.
Right. Unless you keep the mom in the party, she can heal them, not by much, but she can heal somebody.
Because it's called a hug. All right, hang on one second. For some reason, my printer just turned on, and I don't want that to be making noise while we're podcasting, so I just gotta... I don't know where the switch is. But I know where the plug is. I'll just unplug it. Hang on one second.
All right.
Because I don't want it to... It's, like, right underneath the computer desk, so I don't want it to be, like, firing up and...
As mid-conversation.
Yeah, mid-conversation. Just hear, like...
Yeah.
It's, like, doing the paper feed thing. Citizens of Earth. And it's only, I think, 15 or 20 bucks if you're gonna, if you have to buy it. So, thank you, Atlas. You're awesome. We love your PR people. And so, yeah, it's a good game. Like, if you like JRPGs, if you like Super Nintendo-style games, like, I actually kind of, the more I played it, the more I kind of felt it was kind of like Super Mario RPG, you know?
Yeah, I could totally see that.
Like, it's totally more like Super Mario RPG than it is like Tales of Xillia. You know, it's more playful. Whereas, like, Tales of Xillia and, like, Ni No Kuni are, like, very serious, even though Ni No Kuni's art style is very playful and very animated. You know, Super Mario RPG and, like, Citizens of Earth are both aware that they're video games, and they use that to their advantage. Take themselves
super seriously.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, so I think that's kind of nice.
Agreed,
you know, if you're interested in a game that you can grind out a decent amount of time in, I would say check out Citizens of Earth.
It's what? I think $11.99 with Plus, right?
Yeah, I believe it's a discounted with PS Plus. Game, yep. But I think there might be discounts for it in like the Nintendo store as well. I don't know if they're the same. I just know that there were going to be discounts at launch across like all platforms.
Right.
So yeah, that's Citizens of Earth. That is the first game. It's like the first real game review for the Disconnected Gamers podcast. Mm-hmm. Which is pretty dope. And so the next game we're going to talk about is called Gravity Ghost. And it's probably more going to be me talking about it than you, because I'm the one.
Obviously, I haven't played it, so.
Yeah, so we...
sounds interesting. It's the same game I think you shouldn't before.
It's pretty cool. We saw it, and by we, I mean Josh and Esteban and I from Radio PlayStation, when we were at PAX... We were at PAX Prime, but it was PAX Prime 2 years ago, I believe. Or maybe it was last year. I don't remember. So we were in the indie section, because the indie section is honestly the best place to be if you're at PAX. Absolutely spend more time in the indie section than you will in the regular, like, AAA section. There's way more games. Two, the games are actually pretty freaking awesome. And you get to actually, like, talk and chat with the devs. You know, I remember 2 years ago we actually met the Dragon Fantasy book developers. And... because in Dragon Fantasy book is actually very much like Citizens of Earth. It's a little bit more serious, but it's got playful elements, and it's aware that it's trying to emulate like Super Nintendo style games. And the developer, he knew Illusion of Gaia from Super Nintendo, mm-hmm. right? And he was like, I actually was trying to, you know, very much emulate a lot of things from Illusion of Gaia. He's like, because I love that game. And I was like, you're my hero. Because I absolutely... Illusion of Gaia is probably one of my favorite RPGs for Super Nintendo, next to Link to the Past. But, so, Gravity Ghost is... You are playing as... you're actually playing as a dead girl, which is kind of weird. But, so you... Are you looking at images of it right now? Is that what you're...
I was checking it out, yeah.
So, each planet, or, like, star, or, you know... whatever, you know, I think they're all technically considered planets, but each star has its own gravitational pull, and mm-hmm. your character has the ability to circumnavigate the planets via gravity. She jumps, and then she ends up in the arc of gravity as you, you know, traverse the planets. And so the idea is you orbit all these planets, you know, these mm-hmm. little areas, and what happens is there are objects you can collect, and they make the hair of the ghost longer. And if the hair of the ghost is longer, I believe it allows you to travel further, to have a little bit more maybe control as you kind of float around and stuff. And then there's also there's spirits and animals, and you have to collect things to bring their spirits back. You're not really bringing them back to life, but you're kind of rejoining their spirit with their body in a weird way. But it's a super cool game, and it's actually really fun, because like trying to plan your jumps and like how much you kind of go left and right as you're traveling the orbit, because right, you've got to be cognizant of the planet's, like the little planet's gravitational pull, and then also as you get close to another planet, if you don't kind of sway yourself, you'll just land on the planet because it's going to pull you towards it, right? And then you're like, crap, I needed to swing like an extra like 3 feet out or however far out to grab these, to grab their flowers that you're picking up. You know, it's actually kind of fun. Like, it's actually kind of, some of the levels are kind of challenging because like some of them, there's like a couple big planets. And then, like, some of them have, like, several little planets, and they're all moving in motion. So, like, you have to kind of time your jumps and time, you know, how you're swinging yourself around to make sure you get all the stuff. So it's actually pretty cool. I'm enjoying it. And there is a story, like, I don't like to talk much about storylines when I mm-hmm. review games, and if you've ever read any of my game reviews, you would know that. I don't like to talk about the actual story of the game, because I think it's more fun if I can give you as much information about the game to intrigue you to want to check it out, and then when you experience the story, you're experiencing it fresh
Right.
You know,
you're not getting a piece of the story. Yeah, exactly. Like most of these.
It's not like I tell you anything other than like I've told you that the main character is a dead girl.
Right.
But it's called Gravity Ghost, so ghost is implied. But yeah, it's a lot of fun. I actually really I liked it a lot at PAX because it was so different. Right. It was such a different concept for a game to begin with,
which and is then. Good.
Now that I'm like playing it myself, and like you've got this kind of this really nice storyline as you travel through, there's a lot of levels, so it's really nice. I'm enjoying it. I like it a lot.
I'll have to check it out then. Sounds interesting, and it looks pretty crazy.
Some of those levels though, like I'm sitting there looking at the planets and I'm just like, I hop from one planet to another and I'm like, I needed to float all the way around that. And then like, cause you're controlling your like motion left to right, but like your character yourself, she's flying around. And in some cases, like if you do it just right, like you can whip around the whole, like, you know, your screen, I guess your screen area within the level. But like sometimes you're like, no, I wanted to slow down because I wanted to like sift between two planets to hit this. And so it's not like you're not like timed. I'm sure there's a timer to tell you how fast you've completed it, but, there's no like,
there's no set rigid
structure of like how you,
oh, so it's not one of those games that has like a leaderboard, whatever, like, you know. See how better you've done than your friends.
No, I don't believe there's any. I mean, there may be, but I don't. It's not something that really interests me, so I wouldn't be looking for it. But it's not in the sense that, like, as you complete levels, the level map is like a constellation, so, like, you're completing a constellation as you play each level. But in some cases, levels split up, so, like, you can go a couple different paths, and it's more or less just a variety of, how you want to complete the levels.
That's cool.
But it's not like. You know, and I'm sure, like, it's not like, like, you have to finish them in a certain amount of time, or, you know, you could, I don't believe that you can really skip ahead of levels, but obviously if you didn't, like, you know, you had the option to go down two paths, if one path maybe was a little more difficult, you could just go the other way, and then kind of circle back around, and you'll meet up with that constellation, you know, with that star, and you'll just have to do that level again later. So that's pretty cool. But I'll put her Twitter in the show notes, because it's at Lively Ivy, I believe.
Just found it.
Aaron, I believe.
Aaron Robinson.
Yeah, Aaron Robinson. She made the game. I believe she did all the animations as well. And it's pretty cool. It's pretty good stuff. So if you're into Steam games, feel free to check it out. It's pretty good.
I agree. I haven't played it yet, and I agree. Yeah. Definitely check it out. Also, if you pre-order now, you can get it for $9.99 and then add additional money to give support.
The other thing is, I believe when you buy the game, you get two copies.
Yep.
Because she
was checking on the website.
Yeah, because what she wanted, and I remember this from PAX, is she wanted basically to have people who are interested in the game buy it and then give the game to somebody who they think might like really enjoy it that doesn't play video games a lot. And that's a really cool model, right? To like, so you bought the game and here's a copy for you to give to somebody else who you think might appreciate this game once you've played it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's really cool. So like if you at all seem interested in this game, check it out. Seriously, check it out, and then give the copy of it to somebody else. Or if you are a fellow game website or game reviewist or podcaster, you have a copy to give away to somebody. You know, you can give it away on your Twitter or your Facebook or your website or, you know, whatever you feel.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's, you know, it's like a win. It's a win-win. I mean,
so everybody wins. Yeah.
Yeah. It's really it is a really good game. So it's like a win-win-win. It's a really good game. You get an extra copy, and then, you know, you can do whatever you want with that extra copy. So.
Exactly.
So it's a double whammy win. But so that's Gravity Ghost. And the next game that I've been playing a good amount of is called Jump Jet Rex.
Yeah, I've heard a little bit about it.
It's pretty sweet. So You know, the Filthy Casual guys, right?
Yep.
So
follow, I think, like, one of their girlfriends, maybe? I don't know.
Possibly.
She talks about it, and
yeah,
she streamed with them and all that.
Yep. Yeah, so it's Mike Gabori is the...
Oh, that looks awesome.
And Tree Fortress, I believe, is the
his Tree Fortress game.
Yeah, yep. Is what he calls his development. But so the guys at Cherry Sauce Co., who make all the, like, Pokemon t-shirts, and I'm sure you've seen them because Jessica Negri has modeled the t-shirts. It's the starter ones that have, like, the Pikachu, the Bulbasaur, the Charmander,
yep.
And then the Squirtle. I'm like, what are the names of the starters? The Squirtle t-shirts, like, she, you know, I believe she's still the model image of the preview if you go on the website. But so they're the ones that made those t-shirts, and if you're at all into the Pokemon t-shirts and merch stuff, like, you've probably seen their shirts. And so they made a game, Mike made a game earlier called Bardbarian, and it was Bardbarian or Bardbarian.
Oh, nice.
And so it's a mobile game, and you play, your character plays music, and the music is what makes the enemies, like the guys around you that you're, like, around your team, that's what makes them fight. Like, you play music and they fight. So it's an interesting concept, and it's pretty cool. I'm just not into mobile games, so it's not like a huge...
It's not a big deal to you.
Yeah, it's just like, I just don't really play any mobile games. But, so they made this game called Jump Jet Rex. It is on Steam. It is for the PC, the personal computer. And it is actually a ton of fun.
It's pretty awesome.
It's kind of like a speed running game, but it's also just kind of super fun to play. So
you're just like a speedrunning platformer type?
Kind of, yeah. Like, because you're...
That's what I'm getting from the pictures.
Yeah, like, you're a little dinosaur named Jump Jet Rex, obviously. And you have jump boots. And so you can, like, jump up and boost yourself up, or you can dash forward, like, with the boost. Mm-hmm. And each level is a platforming level, and you have to collect these gold rings. And when you get to the end of the level, it's, you know, how many gold rings did you complete? Which, 9 times out of 10, you have to have all the gold rings to get through certain sections of the game to, like, unlock the end. So it's basically get the gold rings as fast as you can, and then when you get to the end, you get your time. And depending on what your time is, you unlock stars. And the stars unlock other levels. So, and then you kind of... And then circa, like, Star Fox 64's level map... You know how there was, like, all the different planets and you kind of just chose which one you went to? So you're a little Jump Jet Rex ship guy. He, like, you've got the, like, outer world menu, and you fly to the different levels. And each level is a different type of platforming level, and some of them are, like, really condensed, and some of them are just kind of, like, get to the end of the level and collect the rings as you go. And you can also collect coins while you're doing it, too, and you use the coins to buy stuff in the... store, but it's just like colored boots or different helmets and things like that.
So you can customize your
basically T-Rex. to customize your T-Rex. I don't believe
cool.
as far as of any of the things I've purchased, none of them have like given me additional
have an effect.
Boost. Yeah,
like, so it's just cosmetic.
I think it's just cosmetic because like I'm saving up though because there's like a Mega Man helmet,
and
I gotta get it. It works with a PS4 controller and an Xbox One controller. Because I plugged my Xbox controller into my computer and played with that, and it's hard, it's not easy, you know. Some of the levels I was kind of like winging through them, and I was like, I'm pretty good at this. And then like there were some levels that I was just like, I hate you, Mike. I hate you for making this level so hard.
How do you do that?
So it's super cool, and it is a lot of kind of. You know, you're going to start a level, and you're probably going to die a bunch of times, and then you're going to... There's no, like, dying and losing. It's just, like, when you're... The second you jump off the initial start platform, the timer goes, and then once you get, you know, you hit a laser, or you hit, an electrified thing that, you know, stops your character, you go back to the nearest checkpoint, and then the timer starts again. So, in theory, you lose the amount of time it took you to get where you died. Every time you play, right? Because the timer just restarts from where you know your checkpoint was, not from where you died.
So if you're
gunning for the best time, usually what I got into the habit of was just restarting the entire level.
You might as well. Yep.
Because there's no real penalties. It's just a matter of if you, you know, and as you do it more often, you'll kind of get better at knowing how certain obstacles kind of, like, what the timing is, and then you can kind of bump through them. Like, so sometimes I'll be running a level, like, multiple times, and I'm doing it flawlessly. I'm just not doing it just fast enough to get the 3 stars. There are also, like, some where it's, like, do it by a certain amount of time, and then there's also some that are do it by, do it with no deaths. Fuck that, is what I said. there's a couple that are impossible. And the coolest thing about it that I didn't actually know, and I hope I'm not ruining anything by saying this, but there are boss battles.
Oh.
Circa Mega Man.
Screenshot.
Mega Man boss battles. It's awesome.
I saw a screenshot.
I had no idea what I was doing when I first got in there. I just did, you know, it's the same kind of Mega Man-esque. You get to the entrance of the thing, you go in, the doors close, the health bar comes up, and then, like, you've got to fight these enemies as Jump Jet Rex. Well, I didn't know how you fight, so I just kind of tried to, like, I was just like trying to, like,
jump at them, or?
Yeah, well, that was the thing, right? So I was trying to, like, jump on them, thinking, like, oh, I'll just jump on them. And, so, basically, it took me a while. It took me a little bit of time to figure out what I was doing. But at the beginning of the game, when you go in, there's like a training area. Like you've got your own little training base, basically. Huh. And when you dash in a direction or even jump in a direction, it throws like a little shockwave. That shockwave is your attack.
Huh.
Blew my mind. Blew my goddamn mind. Because I had no idea what I was doing up until that point. And then, you know, so you got to get a little bit close to the enemy and then dash away from them or jump above them. And that's how you do damage to them. So it's cool because you've got to get close to the enemy, but then you've got to go away from them, right? You've got to dash away from them to shoot that, like, you know, the propulsion from your jet boots to damage the boss.
You need a T-Rex Iron Man.
Yeah, and of the two boss battles I have participated in, one of them was, there was an award for not dying, and I was like, nope, not possible. I call BS.
It's possible, it's just you have to figure out how to do it without...
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, it's just like Mega Man in the sense that, you know, it's all basically kind of learning how to kind of cruise through the levels. You know, it's a lot of repetition. Like, nothing's really left up to the AI. Everything is basically based on timing. So it's just kind of like you've got to be able to craftily navigate through.
Yeah.
Which is... I'm getting there. It's a solid game, Mike Gabori. I give you props. You will be in the show notes. Yeah. I will put it all in the show notes because I believe it's $7.99. And if you're at PAX South right now, and you buy Cherry Sauce gear, I believe he's giving you a code for the game.
Nice.
I believe I retweeted it because it was the first day of PAX South was yesterday, and I believe he said if you buy Cherry Sauce gear, you get a code for Jump Jet Rex. So if you're at PAX South and you're listening to our podcast, one, you're awesome. Thank you. And two, go see the guys at Cherry Sauce.
Exactly. So, do it. I also, you forgot to mention there's a co-op mode.
Yeah, well, there is a co-op mode. We'll try it out. We'll get back to you.
That'd be fun.
Because I haven't tried. I didn't try the co-op mode, actually. But we can. We can try the co-op mode. So, the fourth and final game we will talk about on the game review episode of the Disconnected Gamers podcast is Robot Roller Derby Disco Dodgeball.
Probably one of the best games that I've played in
probably,
a while now.
Yeah,
and that's
probably,
saying a lot.
Like, probably one of the funnest games that I have played in a
so
long
good.
While. And I've just given up. I'm probably, like, it probably isn't even the right, I'm probably giving it the wrong name. It's probably like Roller Derby Robot Dodgeball Disco or Roller Derby
Something
Disco.
Like that, yeah.
It's but Roller Derby. If you look up Robot Dodgeball or Robot Disco Dodgeball, you will find this game. It is on Steam. It, yeah. And as far as I remember reading, it actually has a better rating for reviews than Counter-Strike. which is ridiculous when you think about how much longer Counter-Strike has been out and how good Counter-Strike is and this game. So, as one would imply, you are a robot in a disco roller derby dodgeball match. I don't need to say anymore. I really don't. I don't need to tell you anymore. Go buy it now.
Yeah. If you love dodgeball, you love good music.
Yeah, it's got really good music. But if you're epileptic, don't play it.
With the ball. Yeah,
don't play it if you're epileptic.
Don't play that. But if you want to hit people or other robots in the face with a ball,
If you want to throw dodgeballs in people's faces, you should play it. And it's, what's cool is you can make your own lobbies, your own rooms, so you can invite all your friends. You can make your own room with bots and practice, or just if you're bored. Because throwing balls in people's faces is funny. And I'm not going to even try and not let somebody do a "that's what she said" to that. I'm going to leave it right where it is. And so there's like deathmatch, there's the hoops one, the basketball one, where you've got to get the specific dodgeball and then throw it through a particular side of a big opening at the top of
the... it's basically just opposite sides, I think.
Pretty much, yeah. I think it's just opposite sides. Something like that. But you've got to throw it... You can't throw it through either side.
Yeah, you have to throw it actual target that they have it posted at.
Yeah. So, and then there's like single elimination, and then there's just like regular, you know... to X amount of points, you can set it. You can set it based on time and points, I think, as well. You can catch the ball. It's easy.
Tricky.
I'm not good at it. And so you can throw it back. You can ricochet. You can... There's certain power-ups you can get. So, like, there's, like, a lock-on one. There's a, you know, laser beam one where it's just, like, you whip the ball. Because the ball actually has pretty good physics. Like, the ball kind of arcs when you throw it, and it, you know, it drops off... just like a regular dodgeball would, because gravity's pulling on it. And, you know, if you hold the mouse down, you'll charge up the throw, and it's like 100%, and then you whip it, and if you just throw it slow, you're not as likely to get a hit from a long distance. But it's wicked fun. It's wicked fun. So,
nice. Yeah, it's totally fun.
Yeah.
This game you'll ever play.
It's probably one of the best, like, you'll remember telling your friends about it, being like, dude, I was playing this game, Robot Roller Derby Disco Dodgeball, and people will be like, that game automatically sounds awesome, because it's got a good, it's like Jump Jet Rex. Like, Jump Jet Rex sounds like a game that's awesome.
Yeah, it's totally awesome.
Like, Robot Roller Derby Disco Dodgeball sounds like it's one of those things where, like, I had to check this game out.
Yeah.
Oh, I gotta look at this. So.
Can't not ignore it.
Yeah, so Robot Derby Roller disco dodgeball robots. You should go get it. It's on Steam. It's on Mac and PC. I believe Jump Jet Rex is just PC, but Robot Dodgeball is Mac and PC, which is awesome because I have a Mac, so I don't like having to boot into Windows just to play games. But it's really good. It's actually really good, and it was made, I believe, entirely by one person.
Think so.
Obviously the music is actual, it's actual music.
It's
techno. It's all like kind of techno-y EDM kind of stuff, but it's good. It fits. It's good, yeah. It fits really well for the game.
Yes, so,
I'm trying to think if there's anything else. There's not really a whole lot more I can say about the game other than it's actually a lot of fun. Like if you get like 5 or 10 of your friends and you're all tucking dodgeballs at each other, like it's as intense as like a first person shooter game, but it's like silly because you're just like hucking dodgeballs at each other.
Like it's intense.
Yeah.
So I'm with you, and I was getting angry because you were calling
bullshit on like most of mine. Because I was sniping. I got the laser ball perk and then never picked anything else up because I could ping you from across the map. It was great.
Yeah. Bullshit.
It's totally awesome, though.
It's a goddamn grand old time.
It's a grand old time. Like, pick it up. Pick it up now. Do it now. Let's go now. Get to the chopper. I've been saying a lot. I try not to say but I feel like today, only because I'm so, I'm trying to hold it together, but I'm just kind of, still kind of annoyed with everything that's gone on today. And since we have finished the game reviews... and we get a little bit of time, I feel like we can segue into what we've been up to, video game wise, tech wise, and kind of end it just kind of chatting, and we'll do our usual shout outs. So it snowed today here. Oof. And I found out that I recently bought a used car, and there's really nothing wrong with it. Everything is good, you know, I have all the paperwork. The guy was really awesome. But I was kind of nervous about the tires, because they are an off-brand tire from one of the, you know, kind of Joe Schmo tire chain stores.
Right.
Not like tire chains, but like chain stores that's...
It's just one of those, like, other...
Yeah.
The other option.
Like, it's not like, you know, like, it's not like you bought it from, like, BJ's or Costco or, you know... Walmart, you know, because like some Walmarts have like auto centers. It's, you know, the like bargain tire warehouse type places. And so I'm not going to say the name because I don't even want to give them any credit because the tires are so horrible. And I'm not going to name the brand. If you feel free to go to my Twitter, you'll see all about me being upset about it. And so, I was driving to work and there was a little bit of slush on the ground, and it was. Most of my way to work was actually fine, but there were a few times where I was like, "Huh, I feel like I'm not totally gripping the road," and I drive an SUV. It's a big SUV. It's got all wheel drive. It's got traction control, whatever. And so I literally was at an intersection. And I drive really slow. Like, people complain that I drive really slow. Like, my friends complain when they're with me that I drive pretty slow. My mom complains that I drive really slow, which isn't a bad... Like, I don't know why it's such a bad thing that I drive slow. At least once a week when I'm driving home from work, somebody's flicking their lights at me because I'm, like, driving too slow for them. Because usually I drive the exact speed limit. If the speed limit's 30, I'm going 30. If the speed limit's 35, I'm going 35. If the speed limit's, like, 45, usually I'm, like, 40, 42. Like, I won't go 45. You know, sometimes I will drive a little fast. But more often than not, I'm usually driving slow. Because when I'm in the car, it's the one time where you can't bother me. Because, like, I don't like to answer my phone. And I don't text while I drive. So it's the one time where I can just kick some jams. And nobody
just
can kind of relax. Nobody can really bother me, you know? And my car is really comfortable. It's really got really comfortable seats, right? So I just kind of like, you know, it's a nice way to kind of wind down. You know, it's like a half an hour to 35 minutes of me driving home and like just kind of chilling out.
Basically Andrew time.
Oh, yeah. No doubt about it.
No one there.
Yeah.
It's just you. Because
usually it's just me. And like sometimes, you know, whatever, if like I'm driving my parents somewhere or bringing my brother somewhere or whatever, picking him up from the train station. Otherwise it's usually just me. So it's, you know, it's nice. I like it. It's my me time, you know? Because obviously, like, if I'm in my room playing video games, like, somebody can knock on my door or call me, and it's not like I could just ignore the phone. But, you know, usually you probably looking at your phone. So.
Yeah.
So I get to this intersection, and I, like I said, I drive slow, so I'm already braking, like, way in advance. And nothing. Like the brakes stopped the wheels, but the car didn't stop. And I went right through, and like I knew it too. Like I was still probably 200 feet away from the intersection, and I was like, I'm not stopping. I'm sliding right now. There's nothing I can. And I slid right through the intersection. I'm like, all right, it's fine. I'll pull into the Dunkin' Donuts and turn around. And I slid right by the Dunkin' Donuts too. The entrance to Dunkin' Donuts. And I was like, you've got to be kidding me. So I like kind of just pulled it so that I would slide into like the slushy, more kind of clumpy snow on the side of the road and just kind of banged a U-ey really quick and then drove like 2 miles an hour to get to work. And then as I was driving to work, there's like a slight curve in the road, and it, again, same deal. Car was just like, nope, sorry, not going to curve when you turn the wheel. I'm just going to keep going straight. And so I ended up going off the road, and again, you know, I get back right on the road, no problem, because it's, you're in, when you go off the road and you're not in that slushy, wet, kind of crappy snow, you're in like real snow. So the, the tires actually could grip the snow when it was like that. But when it was that like wet slushy stuff, it didn't have a chance. And as I drove to work, it got warmer out, which is I think why I didn't notice it until by the time I'd gotten to work. Because like the temperature probably went up like 6 or 7 degrees in the drive, and it was already like 40. It was like 46 ish by the time I got to work. So I think it was just more of the snow was starting to melt that was still in the road, and it became that slushy stuff. Because when I drove home tonight, it was just wet, and I had no problems at all.
Right.
Because all the slush had just kind of run off because it went from snow to rain, and I had no problems in the rain. So. Yeah, I was a little nervous. I was a little nervous today driving. It was not fun. I think everyone's been in that position where you're just like, I don't have any control of the car. And it's, you know, and in my situation, it's entirely the tires. The tires are just really, 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 really crappy. So, but I ordered a new set of tires. They didn't have them. Where we normally get our tires because they have to special order that particular size. So they will have them Monday afternoon. I will drop the car off Monday morning after I get to work, and I will hopefully have tires, new tires on my car. Michelin tires, because Michelin tires are good tires. I could have, they had Bridgestones there that they had ready, but I've always had Michelins, so I was just like, I'm going to go with what I know. I would have loved if we had tires today.
Yeah, it would be nice.
But I was like, I'm going to go with what I know and just have you order me the Michelins.
Right.
So in a non-gaming or tech type thing, even though it's kind of technology, I'm getting new tires. In an actual tech thing, I finally got a new TV.
TV. You've had that.
Then, oh my God, those dots.
That dot issue for a little while now.
Yeah. So I used to have a DLP TV, a Mitsubishi 65-inch DLP, 1080p, 120 hertz. Great TV. Up until the DLP chip failed. And when a DLP chip fails, if any of you listening have had a DLP chip, basically, I guess because it's like a computer chip, in the same way that like a screen dies, like the pixels die on a computer screen, the pixels just start dying on the TV, right? It's not like the image is gone, it's just the... instead of displaying your image, it's displaying a white or a black pixel. And it gets progressively worse until you replace the DLP chip or the TV entirely. I have been using that TV for months. It was funny. I was playing with Avery yesterday. We were playing Drive Club, which was actually working fairly well. And I was saying it's incredible how well, like how really, really good Drive Club looks, right? And like we were playing in like a rainy level, and we were playing on those Japan tracks, which we gotta do those Japan tracks. They're awesome, they're really good. The TV's had those dots since I had Drive Club, because even when I was playing Drive Club, I couldn't fully see the screen. So I've been playing on this TV for like 3 months, and basically it was at the point where like I'd say like 90% of the TV was white pixels. Ooh. And so I finally gave it up, and I went to Costco, and I went to BJ's, and I went to Amazon.com, and I went to Best Buy, and I looked at all the TVs, and I ended up with a Sony Bravia 40-inch TV, 1080p motion. I don't know what this motion rate 120 thing is. I wonder if that's like the new 120 hertz thing, because it on the Best Buy website it says it's a 60 hertz TV, but it says it has like motion rate 120, so I don't know if that's maybe some sort of digital processing thing that makes it appear like 120 hertz. I don't really care. TV looks awesome. Doesn't even matter. You do the math. It's great. It's definitely noticeably smaller than a 65-inch TV, right? Because like it's one of those things where like you're not thinking about it when you look at it, because like the 65-inch TV used to nearly touch the ceiling in my room, because it was on top of my bureau, and now there's so much space, like I could almost put 2 40-inches on top of each other. But it's one of those things where like you don't think about it because it's the measurement is diagonally. So if you're measuring diagonally and then you measure another 25 inches diagonally, you get all that, you know, that L bracket of space is now filled in with TV screen because it's going diagonally. Like, it's not, like, 40 inches wide, it's 40 inches diagonally, that's how big the screen is. So, it never really quite set in how obnoxiously big that TV was until I put this TV in. But honestly, I don't care. It was inexpensive, it's a really good TV, it had a ton of reviews, it looks awesome, I'm happy, I'm psyched.
I'd imagine, yeah.
Yeah, like, so much better, so much better. Just so that's I think that's like that's it on tech stuff. I don't really have anything else new going on. I mean, I've been using the Polk Striker headset. I've been using that for pretty much everything now. Like, I'm using it right now for the like to have my headphones on while we podcast. But I use it on the PS4 now. Also, remember how I was saying how like it because the Striker doesn't have external audio. Things on it, that's kind of a bummer when I use it on the PS4.
Mm-hmm.
If you just get into a party chat, you have the ability to balance the party versus the game audio. So yep. I just put the game audio to the, like, the party audio to the highest priority, and it actually kind of balances out the sound pretty well on its own. I have the Striker ZX, which is the Xbox One version of the headset. Polk Audio actually makes two. They make the Striker P1, which is actually for like Wii, PS4, and PC, and that has a different inline adapter, whereas the Striker ZX has an Xbox One stereo headset adapter, which like clicks into the bottom of your Xbox One controller. So, because that has all the audio controls on it. You know how like the normal Xbox controllers, the audio buttons and stuff are on the like thing, the piece that clicks into the controller. The stereo adapter is basically, it goes in line between the Striker headset, which is basically just a regular pair of headphones with the 3.5 millimeter. So you can plug it in your iPhone, your PC, whatever. And then you'd plug it into the Xbox stereo adapter and then plug it into the controller. And if you get the Striker P1, that has a little inline adapter that I assume, same deal, plugs into the PS4's headphone jack, plugs into the your PC jack, or, you know, the Wii U must have an audio jack somewhere. And then there's a little inline adapter for that. So, if I can get Polk to sell that separately, I'd be golden. Because I don't need two headsets, I just need the adapters. Like, I need one for the Xbox and I need one for the PS4. But for now, honestly, it's not actually that big a deal. Once you just get in a party chat and you balance the audio.
Mm-hmm.
And it really only is an issue mostly on Destiny because you don't have any... there's no audio controls in Destiny. And I still don't know why.
Yeah.
So like, if I could, because if I can lower the in-game sounds, it doesn't matter at all. I just lower them and it's no big deal. But because Destiny is a butt, they don't have audio stuff. What about you? Anything going on? Anything exciting? New?
Nope.
I've talked way too much.
Working and playing video games and doing the podcast with you, my boy.
You. It's been fun. You. Honestly, this is actually like exciting. I'm enjoying it, right? Because it's not the same kind of catching up that we do when we play video games. Like, right. We have a point when we're doing this.
Yeah.
Except for like the last 10 or 15 minutes. It's just been me rambling about how just me. It's just me talking. It's me talking and you probably nodding your head being like, People listening are just muting it or they're just doing the like, skip 10 seconds ahead. Is he still talking? So unfortunately neither of us were able to attend PAX South. But PAX East is coming up in a couple months. I will be there for sure.
Nice.
We're going to find a way to try and get you there for sure. I'm going to work some angles. And... I think that's it for game. I mean, the only other gaming event that I know of majorly coming up after PAX East would be E3.
E3, yep.
And I don't think we're there yet. Maybe, but we're not quite there.
Well, at least you have some experience, but I'm at the.
Yeah, I mean, I've got. I don't know that they'll look, because I already submitted for the media thing, but I don't know that they'll look at it and see that like I've attended because I don't. It's not like you put in, like, well, I've attended PAX as media, and it's not the same type of situation, so... But it's whatever, I don't care. I'll still cover stuff from E3, you know, if I see it online either, you know?
Right.
Because I'll get press releases no matter what, you know, I'll get those Because the PR, some of these PR companies absolutely kill it. Like, they do fantastic work. You know, they're really, really good at getting out press releases on stuff so that we can post articles. And, like, there's not a whole lot of content on the website right now, thedgcast.com. We're working on it. We're getting into a groove. You know, we get the podcast pretty consistent. We record on Saturday. I try and post it Sunday.
Right.
You know, if I'm lucky, I'll post it to Saturday night. Most likely, I'm gonna play video games and I'll post it Sunday morning. But,
That works.
which is, you know, so it's like you always get it on Sunday, or you can grab it on Monday, or, you know, whenever you, listen to your podcasts, drive to work.
Just
But,
whenever you have time to listen, just
yeah.
bust it out. Gym, go to the gym. You're doing cardio, bust it out. Listen to it.
Yeah.
Now,
And,
like you said, driving, commute, boom, bust it out.
yep. It's pretty easy. It's actually cool. Like, podcasts as a thing, whoever invented them is a genius.
Yes.
So.
'Cause you can just throw one on and then just,
And
you
just
know.
work. Like, I put them on while I
Yeah.
work. I just, 'cause I take the earbud from the PS4, right? So that it's not like I'm, like, completely off, cut off from the world. But I've got
Right,
that, you know, I've
exactly.
got it in my ear, you know, listening to, I've been listening to the Kind of Funny Games cast, you know, the Game Over Greggy show. The Radio PlayStation, Geek Mates. The Geek Mates is a good one. You know, our lovely friend Sarah. So, you know,
Yes.
it's just kind of nice. Or if I'm for whatever reason, if I just I'm curious about automobile podcasts, I just go search one on iTunes, download it on my phone real quick, and listen to it. It's pretty great.
Yeah.
So, shout outs.
Atlas.
Atlas.
Atlas, and then the creator of the robot Dodgeball. Those
Yep.
are my two shout outs.
Absolutely. Yeah, Atlas, I think, is just Atlas. It's like Atlas
I think
underscore
Atlas,
US,
yeah.
or Atlas USA, or Atlas underscore USA. Gravity Ghost is Aaron Robinson. That's Lively Ivy. Jump Jet Rex is Tree Fortress, but it's Mike Gabori, so it's at Mike underscore Gabori, I believe. Again, they'll be in the show notes. You'll be able to see them if you go on the website. I'll try and link to the Steam pages for the games. And then the Robot Dodgeball guys. I don't know that they have a Twitter, but I'll link to the Steam page. And if I have if they have an actual website for the game as well, I'll link that too, just so you guys can check that out if you're interested. Because it's fun, honestly. You should really check it out. All four games are great, Robot Dodgeball is pretty fun. So,
Very great.
I believe. Unless there's anything, is there anything else you want to talk about real quick? No? Maybe?
Nothing I can think of. I don't think people care about Resident Evil or anything like that, so.
Oh my god. We didn't even talk about that. We didn't. Resident Evil, that's right. You've been playing the hell out of that. The
Love it.
re-remastered, re-piece, re-remaster, remake.
Yep.
It looks
Gosh.
amazing. I mean, it does look amazing. But we'll
It's
talk. You
so.
know what? We'll talk about it next week. You'll
There you
be
go.
you'll have gone through more of it, and I'll probably have played more Destiny, and probably more. I think I'm gonna play more Drive Club. I'm really.
Might give it another chance,
I'm.
yeah.
I actually was impressed. We had a good time. We only had one issue where we got bumped from a match, and it was right at the beginning. And
Ah.
then we finally stopped at like 3 in the morning because we got bumped from a match, and I realized it was three
Right.
in the morning. But that we'll leave that for next week. We'll bring you some updates in some games that we've been playing. I hopefully will have better luck with snow, and hopefully we just
Hopefully.
don't have any because I just would prefer not to have to deal with it.
That would be nice, yeah. That'd be nice.
And yeah, we will keep reconnecting with gaming and life. And I believe that ends episode 10, and we will catch you
On the flip.